with the message, and you'll know that God is speaking to you as we talk about worship. Every one of us is in a position where, you know, God has called us and wants our worship, and He deserves our worship. And so it's an easy one. It relates pretty quickly to everybody in the room. There isn't anybody that'll say, well, that's not for me. So let's press into worship, and we'll start by prayer this morning. Father God, we enter into worship, Lord, as we exalt your name and praise you for who you are. Father, we're thankful for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us, made us right with you. Father, we're thankful for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, encouraging us and revealing the truth to us and leading us and guiding us in your direction, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that eternal life, that salvation that you have poured out through Jesus Christ, through our faith in him. And Father, we're grateful and we're thankful as we press into worship this morning. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to receive and to give of true worship, Lord. We give it unto you as we learn of you. We learn about worship, and then we give it unto you, Father. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So some of you have been around the last 3 weeks. We've been on kind of a spiritual journey, so to speak, the last 3 weeks, something that will take us deeper in our walk with God. Okay, we talked a couple weeks ago about true humility and about surrender. And, you know, we talked and even used examples of, you know, guys that are surrendering to law enforcement. They put their hands up, or maybe they're down, face down on the ground, or whatever it is. But you're in a position where you're vulnerable. You open yourself up. We talked about true humility and surrender, because surrender is life-changing, literally life-changing in a person's life. It's something that is absolutely necessary in order for you to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, in order for you to enter into eternal life. We have to surrender to God, to His plan, and realize that what He came up with, it's good. It's the way. And so we lay it down and we say, I want to go that direction. Now, as a believer, surrendering to God is vital. It's something that's like the heartbeat of our walk with God. It is something that keeps us alive to do God's will. Okay, that's surrender. Because if you get prideful, you start thinking you got things figured out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, then you're taken away from that, what God really wants to do. That's where surrender says, God, every day, my life's yours. You take me, use me however you want today, and you surrender. And the more you do that, the more it'll keep you alive to do God's will. Last week, then, we pressed into devotion. Okay, pretty serious, straightforward message, but it was on devotion, on staying committed to God, no matter what. Okay, because things are going to come your way. You're going to be challenged. You're going to have the opportunity, because the world's going to pull hard in other directions. But that devotion to God is critical. It's something that allows us to remain committed to God, not walking in hypocrisy, not play acting, not pretending, not being a Christian in name only, but truly devoted to God. We're following after Him. We're willing to suffer consequences, whatever it may be, no matter what that situation is that come up. We talked a little bit about guys like Daniel. He's willing to go to the lion's den rather than bow down to false idols. And then like the 17-year-old girl, Rachel Scott, she was willing to die professing Jesus rather than turn away at the end of her life. She had the opportunity one more time, and she's, you know, the guy says, do you believe in God? And she says, the only thing that she knew, she said, you know that I do. Because that's who her life was. She couldn't deny it even at that very end because of her devotion to Him. Okay, so surrender and devotion. And then this week we're talking worship. Okay, they're all going in. Crucial next step to surrender, being devoted to God, and now it's worship. I'm going to enter in and press in and worship. Worship is defined as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, if you look it up in a regular book, in a dictionary. And so we know that that deity is God. And so a reverence, an expression of, a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God, in other words. To adore someone is to feel so strongly towards them, to be so infatuated almost with them, that you can't contain it anymore. if you've ever seen a young couple in love and infatuation, they just almost kind of give you the heebie-jeebies being around them, man. They just can't, you know, stop from expressing this love, and they're, you know, always touching each other and hands on their arms or holding hands and different things. Now, all that is good things. I'm not against that in any way. But just saying that you can see that because they can't quit thinking about that other one. They're just adoring them all the time. Okay? It's something that they can't contain it. It's kind of like the feeling in your heart when you love someone and you appreciate them. Okay, you go beyond just loving them from the surface level, but you appreciate them, and then you set them up on a pedestal in your life that wherever they're at, you want to be right there with them. Okay, you're feeling blessed just to be around them. Okay, and when you're not with them, all you can think about is the next time you'll be with them again. Okay, some of you have maybe been to that point in your relationship with somebody on earth, but hopefully at some point you've been there with God, okay, where you spend time with Him and in His presence. If you've ever been to a good worship service or a conference or those kind of things, maybe even church where you go and you're just blessed to be there and it's so good. And then during the week when you're not there, you're looking forward to that opportunity to go back and to fellowship with people again I love worship concerts and you know, the Night of Hope and those kind of things that we've been to over the years, the worship night in America, you know, at Red Rocks. You know, we drove for whatever 8 hours in a car there and back to go to a 2-hour concert, you know, and it was worth it. It was so worth it to me. It was just a blessing to be there. So I look forward to going back to things like that again. That's part of the adoration and the worship that we get into with God. Okay, you feel blessed to be around them. You look forward to that point of when you can be with them again. Reverence, which is part of the adoration, reverence involves continually desiring to see their will and their desire be done. Okay, wanting somebody else to be blessed is, you know what? You ever get into that situation where your friend comes to town and it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? And nobody wants to make the decision because they want it to be a blessing to that person. You know, they don't know if they like Mexican better than, you know, Italian. And so they're, I don't know, do you like Mexican food? You know, and you're wanting to be a blessing to them. Okay. Reverence involves that. It's kind of like when your family comes to town, you haven't seen them for a long time, and they're passing through town, and they call you up and say, hey, we'd like to stop and see you. Or your best friend is in town. I think nowadays the kids call them besties, you know, when your bestie's in town. And they want to get together with you. You will literally lay down other stuff that you had going on to spend time with them. Because you cherish the time with them. They're precious to you. You adore them, you could say, in that sense. Well, it's kind of like that with God, where you're willing to set aside other things. You're willing to set aside everything else that's going on to spend time with Him. In that way, with our friends or family, we're honoring them by doing that. Okay, if my parents came to town, they haven't been to Wyoming or this part in 15 years, you know, even since we've been here, they just have never been able to make it up. So if they ever came up, I'm taking time off work. I'm, you know, whatever it takes. I'm spending time with them because they came a long way to see me and to spend that time with me. It's kind of like that with God, except He is ever present. He is always here with us, and we can always spend that kind of time with Him. So He is never left out of the believer's life. When you go to work, God goes with you. Right? When you go on vacation, He goes with you. Okay? When you're going through good times and everything is great, He's right there with you. Or if tragedy strikes, something bad comes in, He is still right there with you. He's with you the whole time, right entirely with you. So the Bible definition of worship takes it a little bit deeper, and it says it is homage rendered to God, in which it is sinful or idolatry to render to any created being. Okay, so what is due to God, that true, sincere worship, to offer that to any created being is what the Bible calls idolatry. It is straying from the God wanted it all for Him. Okay, and so he says we're not to give that unto any created being. It is true worship is something not to be given to anyone other than God. And our God, being a jealous God, desires and rightly deserves all of our worship. Okay, he says that he is going to bless you. He is going to love on you in this world. But he does not want you to establish a binding relationship with this world and adore and be in love with this world in the same way that you are with him. He deserves the glory. He deserves the worship above and beyond our own. Exodus 34, chapter 34, verse 12, gives us an insight into this. After he tells them, I'm going to bless you with this and bless you with this and bless you with this, then he says this scripture. He says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant, a relationship with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. He just lays it down. God ain't going to share his glory. He's not going to share that worship. He says, I am a jealous God, and I am worthy of that praise and worship and exaltation. So as a verb or an action, when we talk about worship, now we've been talking about it as a noun, so what is worship? Okay, worship as a verb, as an action word, is described as a demonstration or an outward show of reverence and adoration. It can be as simple as setting aside a few minutes to speak with him. Okay, remember, family comes to town, I'm going to take off work and spend time with him. So if God wants to spend time with me, and adoration and an expression of worship can be as simple as, you know what, I'm going to get up 10 minutes early to spend a little time in prayer with God before I go to work today. Or, you know, it could be getting up and attending a worship service or a Bible study or those kind of things. Just saying, you know what, I'm going to set aside a little bit of time and spend it with God. That is a sincere form of external outward show of worship. It means he is important to me. He is important enough that I'm going to set aside something else to be able to spend some time with him. Okay, it's making a point of attending a worship service, going to a Bible study, reading my Bible, spending time in worship. You know what? I think instead of Country Today, I'll try that K-Love station. You know, or it's taking a step towards God in a way that shows I adore you more than anything else, or more than whatever else it could be. You know, Shania Twain or Chris Tomlin, you know, or Carrie Job, we're going to listen to in a minute. She's a beautiful worshiper of God, the way that she sings unto God. So it means that out of all the things that you have going on in life, to externally worship God means out of all the things you have going on in your life, that you make time for him. Okay? He is your priority, and he is taking precedence, priority, first place over something else in your life. You don't wait for things to slow down so that you'll have more time for God. You make the time for God. You put God in priority, that everything else is going to have to evolve around God in my life. Okay? Everything else, you know, when I put God first, that means everything else is just going to have to fall in somewhere second, third, fourth, whatever, because God is always going to be first and foremost. Okay? For the Christian, worship is an expression of that devotion and an expression of our surrender. It means, God, I want to do this, but I'm going to do this because I'm surrendered to you. I want to go the way of the world because it's fun and exciting and all that, but I'm going to go this direction knowing this can be fun and exciting too. Okay, it's stepping into the things of God and putting him first as part of our surrender and our devotion to him. Since it varies a lot in what it looks like, okay, worship can be in a lot of different forms. We all have different ways we kind of go about it. Unfortunately, human beings over the course of time have taken that worship, and rather it being about God, they've begun to make it more about us. Okay, how am I going to get blessed in this, or what does it look like? I've been to services. I had a friend in Denver that went to a big church, and I remember going with her one time to a couple times to services, and as we'd go, they would have a prayer service before the service, okay, where the leaders and the spiritual-minded, you know, the prayer warriors would gather with the pastor and others, and they would pray before the service, praying for that anointing and different things. And I remember being in that room. It was a room about this size, probably 20, 30 people that came out. Pastor, you know, to me, this was, I think it was Dick Bernal. I don't know if any of you guys know him, but he was a pretty big name in Denver at the time, and a very large church, several thousand people and whatever. So I'm in this room with Dick Bernal, you know, and to me that was cool because I didn't. Anyway, long story short, there was people in a room that were praying, and it was all about them, and they wanted the glory, and they wanted to prophecy, and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to be the show and the glamour, and, you know, and I read the pastor's face as this person began doing this and going off, and I read his face, and I can't really describe it, but I knew that he knew in his heart that that person is about themselves. She's not even praying for this service. She's praying for the esteem of the people in the room kind of thing. And so, anyway, that happens, and you see that it happens over time. But worship is not as much about engaging with people as it is engaging with God, okay, in some way. One way or another, whether it's in worship as we sing like in a service or it's in your car and you spend that time, you take that extra time for him, it's about engaging with God more than it is engaging with people. Okay, worship is about God, it's to God, and it is for God. And it is literally, Matt Redman wrote in a book, he said it was about obtaining an audience of one. Okay, that's what worship is. It's spending time with one, and that one being God. There's a pretty good song by Big Daddy Weave that's called An Audience of One, if you want to look it up. There's another one called An Audience of One that is a demonic one. Don't watch that one. But there's one by Big Daddy Weave that's a pretty good one, and he has some good lyrics about getting alone with God and saying, I've got nothing else to give but me, and so here I am before you. Okay, worship is about adoring and exalting God in every season of your life. Okay, you must worship him when things are good, but also when things are not so good. Okay, and this is how you'll know what true worship is. Okay, a couple years ago I preached a sermon, it was called The Faith of Habakkuk. I thought it was one of my best. The boys still listen to it on the CD at night sometimes. But it was about a guy who, after all the things that he'd been through, all the good, all the bad, all the in-between stuff, and everything that he had been through, at the end of it all, he prays a prayer. And Margie actually read it out of Habakkuk last week, and I wanted to read it again. It's Habakkuk 3:17. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's worship. He was determined to worship and adore God, esteem him high, no matter what happened. And at the end of it all, he could still say that and believe that and pray that unto God. He was determined to worship God. A true worship and praising God, it is praising God no matter what is going on. Okay, when things are good, you lift your hands and surrender to God, saying, God, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for the things that are going on. And when things are going tough and you're going through the difficult time, you lift your hands again and surrender and say, no matter what's going on, I know who you are, and I know that you are the one that's able to turn this around. I know that you are on my side, and I'm still going to worship and adore and praise and exalt you. Okay, Paul and Silas were good examples of that. If you remember in Acts chapter 16, they were falsely accused and arrested. They were beaten. They were flogged. They were imprisoned in the inner parts of the prison, their feet put in stocks. And rather than become bitter or angry towards God, saying, why did you let this bad thing happen? They thought, this is a great time to praise God. And they started singing praises unto God right there in the deepest part of the prison. And rather than being bitter, they exalted God. That is true worship. That's worshiping God no matter what's going on. Okay, it's an expression of that surrender, devotion, and the reverence that's in our heart. Okay, most of you have heard of Matt Redman. I mentioned him. We sing some of his songs. He's a gifted worship leader and a musician. And he wrote a book a while back called The Unquenchable Worshipper. Okay, and Margie has read it. I know as a worship leader and others that have, she shared it with some of our worship team. And she passed the book on to me, and I've been reading it. And it's a great, great read on worship and what it really is about. Well, he devoted a whole chapter to being humble and undignified in worship. Okay, undignified. Okay, letting it down. Okay, letting it not be about me. Letting it be, I don't care who's watching. Letting it be, it's about God and not me or the people around me. It's about Him. And he writes an entire chapter devoted to that. He says it's not about us or performing for the people around us, but if we humble ourselves before the Lord, we will enter in through the door that the Holy Spirit has opened up for us to be in relationship with God. Okay, King David, he uses, was a good example. Okay, if you remember King David, he was so excited about the Ark of the Lord coming back to his city that he literally danced around in his underwear before the Lord. Right? I mean, he was excited. You know, God's coming back to my city, you know, and he gets excited and starts dancing before the Lord in his underwear. Well, somebody saw him. Saul's daughter sees him through a window and despises him for it. Literally says in King James these words, despise. She despised him. And, well, she was a little pompous and thought, you know what, this is a king, and he's dancing in his underwear. It is not becoming of a king. It is not good for him to be doing that. So she gives him a hard time about it and despises him, tries to put him down. And David turns to her and he responds, and he says, basically I'm summarizing, but he says, the Lord God has chosen me. He has called me his own. He's coming back to my city, and if I want to, I will be even more undignified than this. And so there's songs that have come out called Undignified. It's a beautiful couple of versions of it. Matt Redman sings one too. But he says, I will be even more undignified than this. And I kind of picture it as David, as David is saying this to this girl, I kind of picture him doing a little jig right there. Saying, you know, I'm one of God's special ones. God's coming back to see me. And if I want to, I'll be even more undignified than this. And I see him doing this little dance as he's doing it. Okay, that's just in my mind because I really think that he was making the point, if I want to, I can do anything. This is about God. It's not about you, girlfriend. It's not about what you think. And if you want to look down on me, so what? I could be even more undignified than this, and God will still love me. God will still want to be with me. Okay, I think as Matt Redman is praying and sharing and reading and going through this book, writing this book, he talks about true worship being this heart that is unabandoned. It is letting go of anything else. It is unhindered. It's not holding back at all, and even undignified at times. He said it's when you cannot contain the love for God that is in your heart, and it has to come out of you somehow, some way. And then he tells a story about when he was a young man, 15 years old, he was in a youth group. And of course, he was talented with the guitar and stuff back then, so he's leading worship in a youth group. And he said he's singing songs and worshiping God, and he said it was like it was just him and God, and he's singing unto God. And he gets done, and he sets the guitar down, and he feels like there's so much more that he wants, that God is so much worthy of more than what he just gave him through song and guitar, and he wants to let it out. He wants to exalt God in some way, and he said he'd never really been around people that jumped up and down or danced and that stuff, so he didn't really know how to let it out, so he just kind of sets his guitar down, and he goes over to the side door, and he opens it up, and he goes out in a parking lot with no shoes on and runs around in circles in the parking lot to let it out. And so it's like it was so pent up that this worship for God, I'm so committed. My life is devoted to Him. I just want Him to have my entire life. And so he goes out and gives it all to God. He felt like singing and playing just wasn't enough, you know, that he had more that had to come out. Okay, now I'm not promoting that any of you go out and run around in the parking lot in circles, okay, to worship God, or that you go home and dance in your underwear before the Lord. But I am encouraging you to let the devotion out. Okay, you're committed to God. You've given your life to Him. And so let that expression come out to Him. Be willing to yield yourself to whatever He says, that, you know what, I want you to worship me in this way. Or if it's a few minutes here and there that He wants, you know, give Him that. He is worthy of that. And let that passion for God in your heart flow right out of you. And it will come out at times in worship or in a little extra time in the Word or in a relationship that you have with someone else that encourages or glorifies God through them coming to know Him. Getting your priorities in the right order and being willing to sacrifice. Okay, and I didn't even get into that part. Okay, there's a lot of sacrifice in worship. Okay, for centuries. I mean, if you read Old Testament stuff, I mean truckloads of animals sacrificed to God as part of their worship and their adoration and the way that they went about relating to God. And now in the New Testament, God is just looking for you. He just wants your time. He wants your life. He wants your finances. He wants your heart. He wants you as an entire Christian. He just wants you. Okay? And so then He can live and do those things through your life. Okay? And I think as we do that, we give Him a little of our life, a little of our time, then He can receive that expression of surrender and devotion that we give to Him, whatever that is. And I'm going to kind of keep my preaching short this morning. I thought we'd just spend some more time in worship, okay, and spending time with God. And I picked out a couple of songs that I've listened to them over and over again. This one, I don't know how many of you have heard of Chris McClarney. I think he used to be with Jesus Culture. But he sings some pretty powerful songs. I hadn't heard a lot of them, but I tell you, I heard this Everything and Nothing Less that we're about to sing. And I've listened to it over and over and over again. It just ministers unto my spirit, and I believe it will to yours. And then we're going to end with the one after that called What a Beautiful Name by Carrie Jobe. And she sings these. They're in worship services when they sing these in churches, and you'll sense the presence of God as we go through it. But just kind of want to end with these today. Press into God. You know, give Him your life, man. This is what we're here for. And, you know, if there's no better place than in a church service, just to let it down and say, I'm just here for You, Father. This is about me and You. And let Him take your life and have what He wants to do. And I think as we do this, as we're surrendered and we're devoted and now we worship, you'll see transformation continue in your life. Like, wow, things are really starting to click with me, and I'm getting it. It's going, and God is taking you in a direction. So let's enter in and worship and spend a few minutes with our Savior before we close out today.
Again, when we got. Father, you are worthy of all our praise. Beautiful, beautiful, precious name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. Give you our life, Lord. We lay it down. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily, surrendering all, laying it down, taking up the cross, trusting in you with everything I've got. Father, all the great work that can be done in and through our life, Lord, is going to come from you. All the peace that we need in our heart for the troubles that come during the week. All the provision, the finances, the health, everything we need comes from you. We're here because we're committed to you. Because we are devoted. Because we worship you, we adore you. Can't stop thinking about you. Can't wait to be with you, to spend that time alone with you, or to spend it with your people, giving glory and praise to you, learning of you, growing in faith, growing in understanding. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Father, I pray as we go forth from here this morning, something's different. Something's changed. We're more passionate towards you than we've ever been. Lord, that it not just be a moment right here and now, but that it continues. It'd be like that resounding cymbal. It continues on and on and on and on. And Father, we become contagious. We come in harmony with others that are in tune with you and worshiping you and praising you. And Lord, as we join together, it becomes a resounding, roaring towards you, towards heaven. Praise you, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the people here, Lord. Just thank you for your love that you poured on us. Filling us up to overflowing, a passion, a love towards you and towards your people. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.